lots more news from the courts this week on Wisconsin politics and elections with yet another court announcement today on voter ID.
Noah Ovshinsky joins us for a look at the big stories in state politics. He's WPR's assistant news director. Noah, welcome back.
It's good to be here. Thank you. And happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Well, we've got an update about the voter ID law from the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. What happened?
Right. So the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals voted not to rehear the voter ID case. As you might recall, a three-judge panel allowed Wisconsin to reinstate voter ID in a ruling 2 weeks ago. The ACLU and others wanted the whole court to hear it in hopes of a different end. And it looks like that won't happen now.
So how did that vote go down? Why was it decided this way?
Well, it was it was not unanimous. It was the vote actually was 5-5, which means 5 wanted to rehear the case and 5 didn't. And in the Court of Appeals, it takes a majority to take up a case again as a full court. So it would have just needed one more vote for the court to take up the case again.
So this answers the question, will the voter ID law be active in time for the midterm elections? It was, and now we've got our answer, it looks like.
I think so, yeah. This means that voter ID will probably be in place, I would say almost certainly be in place for the election in November. The GAB, Government Accountability Board, and local clerks, you know, assumed that was the case almost as soon as the three-judge panel ruled 2 weeks ago, but now it's, you know, it's even more of a sure thing.
So that's our short-term answer. It's going to be in play for the midterms in November. Long term, could it have some legs beyond that to be finalized in another way?
Well, that depends on the plaintiffs. The ACLU could decide to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And if they do appeal and if the court takes the case, then this story will, in fact, be far from over. It'll just be the next chapter.
Now, so for voters wondering how this is going to work in the next election, can you run us through it? What do they need?
Right. So, yeah, a lot of this has happened, you know, so fast. First, you know, for those submitting absentee ballots, they'll need to be those absentee ballots will need to be accompanied by a photocopy of your photo ID. Voters who plan on going to the polls need to bring a valid Wisconsin photo ID. That can be a driver's license, a state photo ID, which is free now. You can get that free at the DMV, a military ID or passport.
Okay, so how about university students? That's been a question about, you know, maybe an out-of-state student who's wondering how they can vote.
So, yeah, the UW system is actually issuing new IDs that satisfy the voter ID law. But students will also have to, in addition to bring those new IDs, will have to bring a proof of enrollment to the polls. The system is also making those documents available.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, another Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals bit of news, and I almost feel like we should have a regular segment devoted to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals.
What's happening in Chicago?
Yeah, and in addition to Rob, Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals trading cards that he's proposing. But we've got more news out of there again. This time, Judge Easterbrook just handed down another decision about the ongoing John Doe 2 investigation. What's the news there?
Right. So the Seventh Circuit also made headlines. They ruled that this dispute over the legality of the John Doe 2 investigation should be handled in state court. They basically kicked it down to state court. One of the groups that was being investigated, as you might remember, sued in federal court, saying that the probe violated their free speech rights. The Court of Appeals said the issue really shouldn't even be before them in the first place, and they kicked it back down to the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, now to remind us what the core of this was, what was it about?
Right, so the John Doe 2 investigation was looking into whether there was illegal coordination between outside political groups and the Walker campaign during the recall elections.
And what happens now that we've got this ruling?
Right. So now that the federal court has sort of said we don't want any part of it, it's now up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court now at this point. A few cases related to the John Doe have actually been before them for quite a while, but there really hasn't been any action on them. This new ruling by the federal court puts more pressure on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to do something. They could hear the case or cases. They could decline to hear them. And that would mean in at least one case that it would be sent to the state court of appeals. So down a level in the state of Wisconsin.
So lots of different options there, but it could just languish for a while. It sounds
I mean, it's in limbo, and it's unclear, you know, what part of the investigation these prosecutors would be allowed to continue to do without, you know, a clear ruling from the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals in the state. I mean, that's really unclear at this point. So I would say at best, you know, the investigation is still in something of a limbo.
And from Governor Walker, what has he said about it?
So Governor Walker has said, you know, he really wasn't bothered by the ruling. He notes that, it was a state judge who initially squashed the subpoenas in the investigation that sort of led to the appeals court in Chicago. The judge at the time, the state judge, said there was, no probable cause that a crime or crimes were committed. So we got Governor Walker saying, look, the Court of Appeals has kicked this down to the state level, and the state level, in a way, has already weighed in, and they didn't see evidence of a crime, or at least evidence enough to authorize subpoenas.
And I imagine Mary Burke has a different point of view.
Right. So Mary Burke, probably not surprisingly, says she thinks the investigation should continue.
Okay, so we'll be watching that one. Nothing sounds like real fast is going to happen on it, but it's still out there to watch.
Yeah, I'd say stay tuned.
Okay, in other court news, we've got the latest on the GOP ballot lawsuit that alleged that this year's model ballot wasn't fair. Tell us what's happening there.
Right. So this is in the court system back in Wisconsin. And a Waukesha County judge this week dismissed a lawsuit that was filed by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. They sued actually to stop the Government Accountability Board from using a model ballot they felt might confuse voters in November. They argued that there wasn't enough separation between the name of an office and the first candidate. And this year, because Democrats are listed first, they thought voters might think they were the only candidate in certain races.
And what was the judge's reasoning in this one?
The judge tossed it out for a few reasons. First, he said that Voss nor Fitzgerald actually had standing to file this lawsuit because they couldn't prove that they, or rather their campaign committees, would be harmed by the ballots. So they had no standing.
And he also said, I read that this should have been brought by a voter, not by a campaign committee.
Exactly, because in theory it would be the voter affected by these ballots, not the campaign committees. Basically the judge said, if the plaintiffs had problems with the ballots, that it should have been taken up with the GAB first. And of course, the lawyers for the plaintiffs argued that they had already exhausted all of their options, thus the lawsuit.
And in terms of the ballots and how this plays out actually, on the ground on election days, what role do the county clerks play in all this?
They actually play a big role in this because the judge, in fact, in the lawsuit noted that, these were model ballots only that the GAB sends out, and that county clerks were free to make whatever changes they wanted to. So if a particular county thought that the ballot was somehow, confusing or unfair, they could change it if they wanted to.
All right. And the GAB, what did they have to say?
Well, they welcomed the ruling. Director Kevin Kennedy told reporters that these ballots were very similar to the ones used in 2010 and 2012, and that they didn't run into problems then. He didn't think they caused confusion in those previous elections, and clearly he didn't think that these new ballots would either.
Okay, and Wisconsin had a distinguished visitor this week. The Secretary of the Department of Transportation, Anthony Fox, was in Wisconsin. What was on his agenda?
Right, so he met with members of the public, elected officials, as well as industry folks, the primary topic being railroad safety. And this meeting comes at a time when the region has seen, as we've talked about on the show before, a huge increase in the amount of rail traffic, in particular trains carrying oil from North Dakota. The energy boom of sorts, has really raised a lot of questions for people in that area, in that region of Wisconsin.
And we had Mike Simonson on the show earlier in the week. He was talking about how Senator Tammy Baldwin and Congressman Ron Kine had written a letter to Anthony Fox saying, especially concerned about the safety of the rail cars. So while he was here, did Fox address that at all?
I mean, he certainly heard about people's concerns about the rail cars. He heard about the potential emergency responses that would be required if there was a spill or accident of some kind. The Department of Transportation is in the middle of crafting new safety rules. And Fox said, he would take the stories that he heard in La Crosse and take them back with him to Washington. He noted that this energy boom that we've talked about is, it's a good news story. But he acknowledges that the country has to, and this is a direct quote, step up our game when it comes to oversight, safety, and all the other things, that have popped up since this really boom began. He says his department will put the tools in place to make sure the industry safely grows.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Noah, and have a great weekend.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
We've been talking with Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's assistant news director. He joins us each week at this time for a roundup of the top Wisconsin news stories.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.